Hey, this is Ryan Thomas. Thanks so much for listening to On the Road and supporting Faith Radio. You are just the very best, and we appreciate you so much. Enjoy the show.
Discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
It's impossible to spend a substantial amount of time with the youngest among us and not come away thinking, wow, there is an awful lot of pretty profound wisdom being spoken to us by our kids. Mr. John Gager picked up on this years ago, and for decades he's been collecting stories of the wisdom of youngsters from his own family's stable of experience and those of friends and loved ones. He's crafted these entertaining, thought-provoking, and inspiring true tales into his just-released book, Kids Say the Wisest Things, 26 Lessons You Didn't Know Children Could Teach You. Mr. John Gager is a nationally syndicated radio host with our friends at Moody, a speaker, and a celebrated voiceover artist. It's a privilege to have you here today, good man. Welcome aboard.
Well, Ryan, it's great to be with you on the road here on Faith Radio Network.
Well, this is the timing is just tremendous as well, because just the other day I was home and my little niece, she is seven, sir. She came up to me and she put her little face just inches away from my face. And I was like, "What you doing, kiddo?" And she says to me, "I'm listening to your brain so I know what you are thinking."
Now, I guess the question that's got to be asked is, what did she hear, if anything?
I hope she heard something, but I can't confirm she did.
We can neither confirm nor deny.
We can neither confirm nor deny, sir. Oh, man. Well, you really offer the great starting point here in the foreword of the book. You share about the morning after your first child is born. And you're staring into the mirror and you smilingly say to yourself, "Are you kidding? You're not old enough. You're not smart enough. You're not wise enough. You're not anything enough to be this kid's dad." But you look back now and say what you maybe should have asked is, "Are you humble enough to be taught by your child?" And that's really the heart of your message here in this book, right?
Oh, absolutely. And Ryan, that's not make-believe stuff. I actually said those words out loud, just staring at my unshaven face with my messy hair, just wondering, you know, what in the world have I gotten into? But you're right. You know, the question I probably should have been asking is, are you smart enough to learn from this child, to be taught from this child? Because kids, in God's strange economy, have been invested with lessons and insights and words that we need to hear.
By the way, do you talk to yourself out loud in front of mirrors quite a bit?
You'd have to ask my wife. I suppose once in a while it still slips out, but she's doing her best to reform me, Ryan.
Well, it really is a charming read, sir. And you explain it's been literally decades in the making. You share many stories you've personally witnessed, others that come from friends and loved ones. Was collecting these tales, because it's really interesting, was it a pretty organic thing, or was there a point when you started to really just seek them out and want to share them like this?
Well, the stories kind of snuck up on me, Ryan, like the first one, when our little girl was maybe 5 or 6 years old. Lynette had just received Jesus as her Savior, and you know, we were wondering if she really understood what was going on, and it became abundantly clear in short order that she did know that to really be a Christian, you have to receive Jesus as the Savior of your life, the forgiver of your sins. And she understood that even at that young age. And so we're riding in the car doing some errands on a summer afternoon. And, you know, Ryan, sometimes you experience one of these just lashing thunderstorms in the afternoon of a summer. And then, boom, the sun comes out. So the remnants of these thunderheads, quite dramatic, still in the sky, piled high with fluff and gray, but now they're backdrop and backlit by the sun. And it's quite dramatic looking. Well, Lynette takes a look at these bright clouds, connects with this picture book that she's been learning from about Jesus, where heaven is referenced with descriptions of clouds. And she says to me, "Daddy, is that where Jesus lives? Up in those clouds up there?" And I said to her, "Honey, Jesus lives higher than the highest clouds. And she says, oh, and there's a nice little smile on her face, but brother, I can tell the wheels in her mind are turning, and finally she comes out with, you know, and a little bit of pride. You know, when you're a Christian, you wonder about Jesus. And Ryan, I kid you not, I'm sitting there and I'm going, what? And then I said, wait a minute. Now, when was the last time I wondered about Jesus? You know, we pray to Jesus. We go to church and sing about Jesus. We hear from Jesus' word. But when did I last truly wonder about Jesus? I'm afraid I kind of just get through most days. I survive the day at work. I, you know, get home and do what's got to be done, mow the lawn, whatever. But do I wonder about Jesus? And at that point, I said, that kid has something to teach me. And that's the beginning of Kids Say the Wisest Things from Moody Publishers.
Well, and I love what that also brings up, too, which is when we're kids, we don't have a notion that there are certain questions that we may verbalize and other people would laugh at us for, right? We grow up and we learn to be a little bit, not ashamed exactly, but something along those lines. Whereas kids, even when it comes to the most sacred things, they're going to ask the questions that they're really experiencing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, kids, they, if it's on their mind, they say it, you know, and it's kind of refreshing. We were with our old grandkids recently, and I'm laughing, and she's right in my lap, and she says, you know, you got a gold tooth. How come you have a gold tooth in your mouth? I said, well, honey, that's a crown. Well, why do you have that? I said, well, because I had to. You know, you have a gray tooth in your mouth. Well, that's a cavity, honey. You know? then they move on, you know.
Oh,
but on the other hand, same kid, you know, is making you feel rather terrible about the state of your mouth. Same kid is with her buddies at a restaurant, and we're all waiting, and she goes up to a complete stranger kid and says, this is my grandpa. It's my grandpa. You know, in other words, you ought to be interested because I'm interested, you know?
Of course.
If it's in their heart, they spill it. And I think Jesus finds that refreshing.
Yeah, he really seemed to in his life on earth as well. It's pretty special stuff. Well, let's continue to dig into these stories. John is such a fun storyteller to listen to. I'm excited as we get to share these stories together here from the book. But you impart the story of little Emma Lynn at a cabin with her family in the North Woods of Wisconsin, making the declaration that God is one cool dude, isn't he? What's the background there, sir?
Well, it's a beautiful setting with this lake and all these long needle pine trees, and it's early in the morning, and Emma is up early, as little kids sometimes are. You know, they have a way of waking up at the crack of dawn or before. But there she is, snuggled up with her mom out on the porch in a rocking chair, and she looks out and says, Mom, did God make those trees? And Mom says, yeah, he sure did. And she says, well, did God make those little bugs that I see? Yep, he sure did. And then she looks down at the sand. There's a lot of sand on this property, and she calls it her sandbox. She says, and did God make that sandbox there? Did he make my sandbox? He sure did. And Emma's kind of quiet, and she says, wow. God is one cool dude. And, you know, some of us as adults might feel, you know, that's a tad bit casual as far as speech goes, but that's entirely appropriate for a little two-year-old. But the flip side of this, Ryan, is that, you know, many of us limit our definition of God's grandeur to the big things, you know, full moons and a sunset, and those are great. But the majesty and glory of God are as evident on the back of a ladybug or a helicopter maple seed as they are in a climb up Mount Everest or a hike to the Redwoods. So I think we need to learn from Emma and learn to see the glory of God in common things, because God is seen there as much as he is in the so-called greater stuff. We need to learn to ponder his otherness, to whisper his infiniteness, and invite him to teach us to tremble, because in Emma's words, God is one cool dude.
Mr. John Gager is with us today on the road, the nationally syndicated radio host with our good friends at Moody, a speaker and the author of the seriously fun new book, Kids Say the Wisest Things, 26 Lessons You Didn't Know Children Could Teach You. Lesson number 3 of the 26 is sparked when a young gentleman in Western Mexico taps you on the shoulder and dubs you his amigo. And
yeah,
this one really tugs on the heart. Can you share how that one came to pass?
Yeah, we were down in Baja California, which is Mexico, a little strip there. And at the time, I hadn't traveled very much. I was with my daughter, Lynette, who had now graduated from eighth grade. This was part of her eighth grade graduation present. We wanted to have her exposed to a different culture, to a missionary organization that was originated in Mexico, ministering to the poorest of the poor. In their case, it's the Oaxacan people. The Oaxacans typically live in the south of Mexico, but they are migrant workers, so they were up in the region where we were at. And one of their ministries was they feed these kids milk. And they said to us, would you like to help us bring some milk out to a village? Sure. This is an enormous agricultural feed tank of some kind that is filled with milk, and it's sloshing in the back of our van.
Whoa.
And we're bouncing down these torturous roads. I tell you, Ryan, it was almost enough to make your stomach upset. The roads were so bumpy. But anyway, we finally got there, and they wanted to make me feel good and said, would you like to be the one that pours the milk? I said, sure. So they handed me this pitcher, and these kids come streaming out of some of the most strange housing I'd ever seen at that point. It was blue plastic tarps spread over ropes. It was cardboard boxes turned upside down. That was a house. Or a rusted-out car. This was the housing for this little village. And out of these so-called houses tumbled all these little children, and they all had a little plastic cup in their hands. And so I filled their cups as quickly as I could, one after the other after the other. I mean, there was a lot of these kids. And this one little fellow says to me, "Más, por favor, más." Well, I'm no Spanish speaker, but I know he's saying, "More, please." So we certainly filled it up. And I'm busy tending to other kids when I feel the press of this tiny little palm on my shoulder. He's patting my back. And I hear this soft little voice, "Amigo, amigo." It's this tiny little boy who had asked me for more, please. And he was such a cute little guy. And I thought to myself, how could he possibly call me amigo? You know, I mean, if I was his amigo for real, wouldn't I do more to do something about the wretched housing conditions? Wouldn't I do more than just show up for a week, more than just fill his plastic cup with milk twice? And I kind of carried around a load of guilt, Ryan, for some time, feeling like I should be doing more. And there's no question that Scripture calls us to have pity on the poor. You know, let us not love with words or tongues, says 1 John, but with actions and in truth. Okay, that's true. Although we should not do what I did and throw out those good things we do because we're not the big things we wish we could or should have done. Mm. In retrospect, you know, I think of that scene where Jesus says, you know, when you give as much as a cup of cold water to one of the least of these, you've done it to me. So in the strange upside-down economy of Jesus, Ryan, it turns out even giving the gift of a cup of milk to a little kid in the hot Mexican sun matters. And the fact that we wish we should or could have done more does nothing to erase the smallest gesture of kindness we did perform. Mm. Somehow, in the economy of Jesus, even giving a cup of milk to a poor Oaxacan boy is noted and marked for future reward.
Another one that just found so relatable was little Jocelyn and little Caleb, and the toy that, according to the former, was not stolen, but was in fact just loosened from his hand. What are we looking at there, sir?
Well, so you've got a little girl who's been the queen of the roost until baby brother comes along. So Caleb has got this little toy that his older sister Josie kind of wants. Well, rather than yank it out of his hand, which you know, Josie is smart enough to know would probably not turn out well. She kind of very slowly takes it out of his hand, just moves it out of there. And before you know it, it's out of Caleb's clutch, and it almost worked. And then he noticed his little toy had disappeared, and he kind of begins to whine. And his mother, not far away, heard the commotion and sensed immediately what might be happening. She says, "Jocelyn, did you take Caleb's toy?" Now, you note the simplicity of Mom's question.
Yes.
It's direct, right?
It's
a simple yes or no question, right, Ryan?
Yes, sir.
But this is Jocelyn's response. "No, I'm just loosening it from his fingers." This is a rather impressive bending of language and truth. It's impressive, but it's false. You know, her answer might have assuaged her guilt, but it did nothing to change the truth. She really had taken what did not belong to her and then attempted to cover the deed. And Ryan, I thought to myself, you know, how similar to the love story that went incredibly wrong, the young couple who had been handed a carefree existence in Eden, taking the one thing that was forbidden them, fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Of course, we all know how that story ends. God asks Adam that specific question in Genesis 3, "Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?" Mm-hmm. Again, a straightforward question. It's just a yes or a no, right? But Adam says, you know, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit and I ate it." And Ryan, that's the way the world has carried on ever since. Misdirection, bending language and truth to cover our lies. But I have to say, when you think even further about this, it's not so much, Ryan, you know, what Jocelyn did or what Adam did. I wonder how often you and I just sort of loosen something from God's fingers. Do we ever intend to go to prayer meeting, but choose instead to give our weary bones a break in front of our favorite TV show? I think that might be loosening something from God's fingers. Do we ever feel a prompting to give a financial gift to a ministry, but then decide, I'm going to hang out of that money instead? I mean, after all, college tuition for the kids is just around the corner. Well, you know, we might be guilty then of just loosening something from God's fingers. There's 100 ways we can do it, but we can steal from God. And the point is, it never ends well when we take from our Heavenly Father, right?
Oh, so true. I was convicted, honestly, by it. The equivocation, you know, just how hard it is to own up. And that continues our entire life. We never grow out of that desire, do we? But
no.
Mr. John Gager is with us, the nationally syndicated radio host with our friends at Moody, a speaker and the author of the seriously fun new book, Kids Say the Wisest Things, 26 Lessons You Didn't Know Children Could Teach You. And you're tuned to Faith Radio's On the Road. Ryan Thomas with you today. You are certainly hip to the times, because you include a story that involves texting, which is very exciting. And the timely question, how do you text the Lord, comes up. John, how did that come to pass?
Well, you know, when you think about it, Ryan, every second, a global total of about 200,000 text messages are sent out. Every year, the world sends out about 7 trillion texts. And the USA is responsible for about 45% of the world's message volume. But, it is, you know, you have to imagine that little kids notice what's going on with their parents, you know, with texting. And finally, Josie, little kid, she says to her dad, "Well, Dad, how do we text the Lord?" she wanted to know, you know. How do you do it? Well, I think what she was really saying was, how do we connect with God? How do we get an answer? How is it done? Well, obviously we don't pick up a phone, but we do talk. It's called prayer. But despite the many conferences on prayer and the books on prayer and the sermons on prayer, most of us struggle with prayer. And like Jocelyn, we kind of wish it was as easy as texting. But if we're honest, you know, Ryan, we got to admit that texting has its limitations. I mean, who in the middle of a text message hasn't made an embarrassing typo, said something that was never intended? You know, emoticons are cool, but they don't begin to address the subtleties and range of our deepest feelings. And then you think about the number of times that your friend or family member said, "I never got your text." But prayer, on the other hand, is quite different. It's a conversation. We speak, he listens, He speaks, we listen. This is prayer in its purest form, Max Lucado says. So the answer to the question, how do you text the Lord, has always been and will always be, we pray. We pray. Despite wondering if we're doing it right, despite our lack of complete understanding, we pray, not demanding that God prove himself, but because he already has. Prayer, that is how you text the Lord, Ryan.
All right. The next story I wanted to address involves, I believe, you driving, sir. You're operating a vehicle, and in the rear of the vehicle, there's a young lady in her car seat, and
yes.
She continues to ask certain questions of you, questions, I believe, which would be basically to the extent of what happened. But she has a rather entertaining way of asking the question. Could you set that up for us?
Yeah. Josie's about 2 years old, and she spent the weekend with us, and we came to that sad moment where we had to pack it all up and send her home. I never like taking the kids home. I don't. But there we are. She's got her big pink puffy winter coat on and her big pink puffy hat. And we strap her into her seatbelt and off we go into the car. And we go a mile or so down the road, make a left turn. And from the back seat, we hear, "Hey, what happened?" I just kind of ignored her. I figured she was just, mumbling or whatever. A few minutes later, she says again, "Hey, what happened?" Nothing happened, hon. We're just taking you home. Another minute goes by. Another turn. "Hey, what happened?" And then she says, "My chair folded over." I said, "No, it didn't." And I turn around and look, and Ryan, sure enough, her chair had folded over. Somebody, Grandpa, had not got that car seat fastened right. And this poor little kid is just flopping in the breeze, and every turn it gets worse. You got to picture this now. She's in this big pink puffy coat. Her big pink puffy hat has so now slid down over her eyes. She can't even see. And she's just dangling. "Hey, what happened?" Well, it was pretty funny, except for the fact that Grandpa really kind of messed up. But the whole thing took me to the reality that you and I inevitably come to a place in our lives where it feels like our chair has folded over, like our life has folded over. Maybe it's a relationship that goes bad. Maybe it's a job that goes south, a marriage that falls apart. I don't know what it is, but it feels like you're flopping in the breeze, like your chair has folded over, and that you're not going to make it. But the reality is, God is there. And unlike an irresponsible grandparent like me, he knows exactly what's going on. He's not going to let you fall. He's not going to let you fail. And the next time you're tempted to say, "Hey, my chair folded over, what happened?" remember, it's only for a little while. And the result of it all, according to Scripture, is that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, will be brought to bear, will be brought to shine, so that we can give glory and honor to God, even when it feels like our chair has folded over.
Well, in just a moment, we'll explain how you can go about picking up a copy of Kids Say the Wisest Things from our pal John Gager, who's been with us here on the road today. But just one final question, and of course, these stories really do demonstrate it, but just to get inside the heart behind why you put this together, part of your heart for crafting the book, you've said, is a desire to encourage. And this is definitely an age where negativity is in no short supply, more easily shareable than ever, too. But what was the unique power that you saw here of these kids and their stories to lift people up?
I am utterly convinced that kids have a way, through their comments, of helping us see Jesus more clearly and love him more boldly. Isn't that what we want at the end of the day, Ryan?
Yes.
Yes, sir. People tune into Faith Radio Network. They hear you on the road, and they hear the other great teaching programs and the music and all that. But at the end of the day, don't we want to see Jesus more clearly, love him more boldly? That, I think, is the message, the takeaway, the impact of Kids Say the Wisest Things.
Well, the nationally syndicated radio host has been with us, a speaker, the author of the seriously fun new book. We've been talking about it. Kids Say the Wisest Things, 26 Lessons You Didn't Know Children could teach you. And, sir, I'm sure available in so many bookstores across the land, but if we do want to start the journey online, where's the best place to find Kids Say the Wisest Things?
MoodyPublishers.com, MoodyPublishers.com. And if you'd like a free sample chapter, like to see a video clip or two and some other fun stuff, head to KidsSayTheWisestThings.com.
I just can't tell you what a treat it was to get to share just a few of these stories with you over this half hour. You're just a tremendous storyteller, sir. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you a bunch.
Well, Ryan, you need to know that the entire Moody Radio family has a big salute to Faith Radio Network. We love you guys. We've been friends for so many years, and it's an honor to be with you on the road.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.
Thank you so much for listening. Programming like this is available through your support, and you can learn more about partnering financially at myfaithradio.com. We'd also love to hang out with you during the week on Facebook and on Twitter. Just search for On the Road with Ryan Thomas. Talk to you again soon.